Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We're continuing our study in James chapter 5. And he says there in chapter 5, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, this is important to summarize. James has been setting a context here of the danger of falling into worldliness. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him, it is sin. Now, this is where he's summarizing. People are getting caught up in this. They're thinking that their lives are their own. They're thinking that it's all just about making money, that it's about working hard, establishing themselves, having a good retirement. James is saying, sorry, that is not what this world's about. It's not what your life is about. Your life is here for a little mist. And we worry about this and that, retirements and all these things. James is saying you've got a bigger concern. You should rise every morning recognizing God's supreme control over your life. You should seek him and find him. You should glorify him, asking, Lord, whatever you will, I will do this day. It's in this context of an oppressive world, of a world of worldliness, of people oppressing one another. The James says, therefore, brethren, since all this is going on, I don't want you to get drawn into it all. I don't want you to forget what life is about, why you're here, what your purpose is, to think that it's about making life and having the American dream. These are real dangers. Don't fall into them. Instead, I want you to be patient until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Really interesting comparison here. You see, this farmer, notice what it's saying. He describes the crops of this farmer as precious to him, meaning that the farmer is not a wealthy man who doesn't have to worry about things, but he has a small farm and depends upon the good harvest for his own survival. You know, I compare this sometimes when we down in California, and I know this is not always the case. There are good stewards who have a lot. But there were some dairymen, you know, down in California who had 15,000 cow dairies, and the excess was ridiculous. And then there were the little dairymen who were just making enough with 300 cows to feed the family. And James is kind of operating from the people who are greedy for money and those who aren't. And he's picturing that. He's using that to say he has to patiently wait for the early and latter rain so that he can live. Now, James is applying this to Christians, saying, I know you're being afflicted. And I know you're tried in this life. I know it's hard. I know there are many temptations hitting you. And that often you feel discouraged and you feel like failures and that you become worldly, that you take your eyes off of the Lord. But consider the farmer, how he is dependent on the rain. Here's how you are to live. Just like that farmer is patient over his farming until the rain comes. So I want you to be patient over your trials until the Lord comes. See what he's doing? He's picking up where he left off in chapter 1. This is how the book of James started. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. These hardships are doing something for you. In your patient wait for the Lord, see these hardships and trials that you face as something the Lord is using to train you, to advance you in righteousness and maturity. Set your desires in these hardships on becoming mature and complete, not worldly. These things are producing completeness in you. Just like the farmer has to be really patient in his farming, waiting for the rain and the final harvest, this is how you are to live. You don't have to live wondering if the rain's coming. In other words, I suppose we understand that in Washington. But James is using that to say, just as the farmer is certain of that rain, so the Christian can live absolutely certain the Lord is coming again. You see, there's so many discouragements in this wait that it's extremely easy to lose heart and to just become worldly and to think that God doesn't care or that God is not hearing. And as all these injustices accumulate, our society gets worse. Every society goes through a cycle of iniquity, which means that it's growing worse and worse and worse until it self-destructs. And we're seeing that play out. That infects us with coldness. It infects us with the wrong kind of fear, worldly fear, trusting in the things of this world, our retirements and things. And it brings about a lot of indifference to the promises of the Lord. James is saying this is where the call to patience comes in. Don't lose sight of the end. And so he uses this to say in verse 16, if anyone among you is suffering, pray. Prayer is the antidote to this. Remember, Jesus told that little parable. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's the antidote to losing heart. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? This woman faced nothing but pain and injustice in this life. And she kept coming and coming to the judge, and she came again and again. And finally, he was so tired of hearing from her, he got her justice. And Jesus says, what do you think? You think God is like that unjust judge who has to get so wearied of you coming, then he'll finally act? No. Every prayer, every single cry, he hears. Ever feel like he's not hearing? You're wrong. He hears, and he will make it right. And so the Lord encourages us to be in prayer. But he also said that before he comes, the Lord Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead, few will actually be in prayer. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You know what that tells you? Before he comes, so many will be infected with worldliness. They're not praying. Do you pray? This is the patient wait of the saints. You be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's so close, dear listener. So close. If the apostle were here today, Paul, and had heard that we made it 2012, he would have fallen over. You've been that merciful, Lord. It's so close. And he says, strengthen your hearts. It starts with your attitudes. Stand firm. Stand firm. Now, there are many things that draw us away from patience. James turns to a single great application of patience. I find it fascinating. Listen to verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Interesting, isn't it? Of all the applications he could have given, the single application and call to patience, the practice of it, becomes his great warning. Grumbling against one another. Notice it's talking to the brethren, the churchgoer, the Christian. He knows that the single greatest threat to waiting with patience is what? Literally, moaning against one another. Among the saints, to grumble specifically against the brethren. Now, that's not saying you can't take a stand for a truth and expose error. Someone will hear that and think that. That's not what that's saying. It's saying in a body, relentlessly attacking people with no cause, murmuring and complaining because of offenses. You ever wonder why this has been such a problem? Do you realize that this single problem has been the greatest cause of all division in the church? I can't believe that of all the applications he makes, grumbling is his single point of emphasis. Why? Because he knows that when Christians are under pressure, marriage problems, personality problems, worldly problems, grumbling is the single greatest threat to the effectiveness of a church body's witness and readiness for Christ's coming. That's Israel. That's Israel in the wilderness. Let me quote Numbers 21. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. That's exactly a picture of the Christian life on the way to heaven. That we get discouraged on the way. We lose sight that the Lord is with us, and we murmur and we grumble, and that takes our eyes off of the Savior. Think about it. In a close community of Christians, offenses will come. But the worst kind of environment is created when people are unwilling to overlook offense. You ever seen churches full of grumblers and complainers who just trash everyone else? It's an awful place. It has nothing to do with the love of Christ. The message of grace, dear listener, is that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us, that he gave himself for us to wash us, to renew us, that we would be made into the image of Christ. And what image has he left us with? It's that of a servant who became nothing that we might be exalted. What did Christ do? He passed over our sins. He paid for them. And what does he say to us? True love covers a multitude of sins. That's how you can be patient in your churches. That's how you can be patient in your life. Love the unlovable. You've been loved if you're a Christian by Christ so sacrificially that he died for you. And the best way to go forward is to model that kind of love to one another. That shows you're patiently waiting for his return. Lord is coming. Lord is coming soon. He's going to make all this injustice right. He's going to correct, and he's going to judge, and he's going to free people from this oppression. Turn your eyes to him today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and learn the patient wait of the saints. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in London. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LondonURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.